Welcome to the Braving the Waves podcast, stories of unsinkable resilience and resolving stigma. I'm your host, Michaela, and I am so excited to welcome you to season two. Each week, we will explore anonymous stories and poems, and sometimes you'll hear my voice, other times you'll hear others and their contributions. You'll leave with a refreshing take on storytelling that takes a deeper dive into a specific moment or experience. My hope is that it will encourage you to venture deeper into and perhaps share your own story, which you will now be welcome to do through our submission form. Thank you so much for listening. That's a step in and of itself. And I so hope you enjoy this week's episode. Hey everyone, I hope that you are doing as well as you can be today. And this week's poem and episode explore fears around trying therapy for the first time, which has been juxtaposed with the experience of telling someone you love them, also for the first time. And we step into this stream of consciousness as someone journals their thoughts, navigating hesitancies around how therapy may or may not help them, and how it's easy to feel like you have to fit into a box of what's normal or acceptable to struggle with and bring to therapy, and how this is at odds with what you may actually need to bring. And woven into our poem is this wonderful example of how to love someone without ever having said the words, and also how to receive that if it's not in the form we were expecting or hoping. So I will share the poem with you now. Late last night, I told my best friend that I loved them, knowing that they didn't feel the same way. I know exactly why I did this. Because I'm trying therapy for the first time today, and, quote, I love someone who doesn't love me back, end quote, seems like a more normal or acceptable thing to need a therapist for. Easy to pull from my back pocket instead. Instead of what? Oh. Oops. Everything, I guess, that can't be fixed by mixing and matching mindfulness, medication, more gratitude. Will it be safe to say, I don't want to adopt ways to survive a harmful environment where I don't know what it feels like to be loved, or that I want to heal the bridges between my ancestry, my past, my now? So I texted them last night, and not knowing what to expect of anything, with this mini hope that they might show me what being loved feels like, so I wouldn't need to meet this therapist. I just woke up, trying to journal now, clearly, before I need to work up the courage to either cancel or show up, because seemingly I'll be hiding hurt twice now. It's a dark, damp morning. My lamps are still off. I'm writing illegible loops on a pale pink sticky notepad with my eyes closed because I can't see and don't want to anyway. Biz, biz. 6:23 a.m. Oh goodness, let me switch to a voice note. They responded as soon as they saw it. Here we go, either an out or ready-made script for session one. Why am I opening this so fast? Do I want to drag my nails through my open wound? Of not only rejection, but confirmation? Of not knowing what being loved feels like? Strange. No, not what you're thinking. They don't feel the same, and trust me, I feel that painful pang. But, no. And, they said, I love you too, in a no less potent way. They said, I booked my morning off class and work to drive you to your therapy appointment, if you want me to, and I can be there to pick you up. And I'll always be here to go with you to every hard place. Now I'm crying and thankful for voice notes. On the end of my bed, raincoat on, I've written and spoken this poem of sorts, but no, and I should give this therapist a chance. I'm sure my best friend knows I might even bring this moment to therapy, yet they never swayed. Tucking my toes into my boots and stomping my heel in, I know I still need therapy, and I'm loved, too. Okay. As usual, breathe the words in. Is there anything in particular that they make you feel or think? Did they connect with your senses in any way? Were there any colors or symbols that you noticed? Any meaning you were able to draw? Metaphors, interpretations, clarity, messages? And with this poem in particular, I know it's a little bit more of a stream of consciousness, sorry. So there's less metaphors and imagery or things really to dive into and unpack. And so I don't have as many notes to go along with the poem this week, but I will share the ones that I do have. So if we go back to the beginning, there is this distinction here with feeling, you know, what's normal or an acceptable thing to bring to therapy, to a therapist. And it's clear that to this person, it feels like, you know, this idea of I love someone who doesn't love me back is more normal within the case of a romantic relationship, or feels more normal, more acceptable. When in reality, it's very clear the same sentence applies to this person's environment, family, other relationships, and yet it feels unsafe, less acceptable to bring this to therapy, because maybe it requires a deeper dive, perhaps more vulnerability to unpack, but there is this very pertinent fear of it being less believable and therefore more likely to be gaslit, which is a very real thing and a very difficult thing to feel and navigate, especially in this context. And this, of course, is also happening with this fear of the experience of going to therapy, meeting a therapist, pouring out or sharing some of your deepest struggles, you know, that being met with this prescriptive, immediate moving into diagnosis and medication and all of those things. And there are unfortunately horror stories about how that happens. Of course, it doesn't happen in all cases, but there are many things that are absolutely fair to be concerned about. And this poem asks, you know, some of those questions. Will, you know, or how will I be met with what I would like to actually express and share? And it's also important to note here too that, you know, this person is venturing into therapy for the first time, clearly because they're feeling, you know, maybe they're at a point where they really need that support or an external kind of third party type of support. But therapy and all other types of community, one-on-one support like it are never, of course, reserved for times of crisis or deep pain and suffering. They should be part of some sort of ongoing practice in our lives, whether that's meeting with a therapist or not. And it's very, very easy to internalize, you know, I only need support when I'm struggling. And that's, of course, not true. And this person is also kind of struggling with this idea of, okay, well, maybe if I send this text and open up a little bit to this person I really trust and care about and love, if they reciprocate that, then maybe it'll be a big enough band-aid that I won't need to go to therapy. Like, if you have a good enough or loving enough friendship or other relationships outside of something that's really harmful, then maybe these things can cancel each other out. And of course, that's not always true. They very much coexist. And the painful and harmful relationship or environment that you're navigating can never be canceled out by a good relationship, or perhaps even the good things coexisting in the painful and harmful relationship and environments. And then we come to the end of the poem, where you have this response from the person who was texted, and it's very unexpected in a lot of ways, expected and unexpected, because the person expressed that they were pretty sure that this person didn't feel the same way as they did, and that's painful, and that absolutely is something to make space for and feel and navigate in its own way. And yet clearly there was a reciprocation of kind of this core of what love really means in this offering to, drive our narrator to their appointment, booking time off class and work to drive them to their appointment, be there to pick them up, be there to support them and walk with them into, whatever it is they need to navigate and unpack. And in a way, this feels like maybe, they actually got a better response than what they were hoping for, in that this kind of true, genuine love is coming from someone who clearly cares, is showing it, which instead of being a way out or a replacement for therapy and or other types of professional help, ends up being the support needed for this person to be able to go to their appointment. And that's a really beautiful, beautiful thing, and clearly a really beautiful relationship to be in. And of course, the poem ends off with, knowing that both of these things coexist. There's this need for this type of support, whether through therapy or, whichever path this person ends up going down, and this knowing that they are loved and have somebody in their life who really cares about them and loves them, even if that's not romantically reciprocated. And with that, I will read our poem once more so you can soak all of that in. And I hope of course, for anybody who's thinking about trying therapy the first time, thinking about telling somebody that you love them, I hope it's a helpful dialogue and little collection of words to think about those moments with. So I'll read it once more. Late last night, I told my best friend that I loved them, knowing that they didn't feel the same way. I know exactly why I did this, because I'm trying therapy for the first time today, and quote, I love someone who doesn't love me back, end quote, seems like a more normal, acceptable thing to need a therapist for. Easy to pull from my back pocket instead. Instead of what? Oh. Oops. Everything, I guess, that can't be fixed by mixing and matching mindfulness, medication, more gratitude. Will it be safe to say, I don't want to adopt ways to survive a harmful environment where I don't know what it feels like to be loved, or that I want to heal the bridges between my ancestry, my past, my now? So I texted them, last night and not knowing what to expect of anything, with this mini hope that they might show me what being loved feels like, so I wouldn't need to meet this therapist. I just woke up, trying to journal now clearly before I need to work up the courage to either cancel or show up, because seemingly I'll be hiding hurt twice now. It's a dark, damp morning. My lamps are still off. I'm writing illegible loops on a pale pink sticky notepad with my eyes closed because I can't see and don't want to anyway. Biz, biz. 6:23 a.m. Oh goodness, let me switch to a voice note. They responded as soon as they saw it. Here we go, either an out or ready-made script for session one. Why am I opening this so fast? Do I want to drag my nails through my open wound? Of not only rejection, but confirmation? Of not knowing what being loved feels like? Strange. No, not what you're thinking. They don't feel the same, and trust me, I feel the painful pang. But no, and they said, I love you too, in a no less potent way. They said, I booked my morning off class and work to drive you to your therapy appointment, if you want me to. And I can be there to pick you up, and I'll always be here to go with you to every hard place. Now I'm crying and thankful for voice notes. On the end of my bed, raincoat on, I've written and spoken this poem of sorts, but no. And I should give this therapist a chance. I'm sure my best friend knows I might even bring this moment to therapy, yet they never swayed. Tucking my toes into my boots and stomping my heel in, I know I still need therapy, and I'm loved, too. All right. Thank you, everyone, as always, for listening, for leaning into these episodes and poems and conversations. And of course, you are welcome to let me know in comments on Instagram or via email what you think, any thoughts. My email is Michaela@weareinsyncable.com. And stay tuned for next week's poem and episode in particular. It's going to be a special one and a really exciting one to celebrate Unsyncable's fifth anniversary, which is so hard to believe, having been a part of the organization in various ways, really for the past 4 or 5 years. And it's exciting to see all of the progress and amazing work that's been done. And so our episode will be kind of a special edition next week to celebrate that. So definitely tune in. And of course, as always, if you would like your moment or memory to be shared in the podcast, please head to tinyurl.com/bravingthewaves, which is also linked in the show notes. And with that, I hope you have a wonderful week ahead, or as good of a week as it possibly can be for you. And I will see you, or I suppose you'll hear me, next Monday. Take care. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Braving the Waves podcast. You can find more information about this week's content, resources, and related links in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love it if you subscribed, shared, or left a review and followed us on socials. And lastly, don't ever forget that you are unsinkable. Just being here, listening, helps you swim and keep your boat afloat. Thanks, everyone. Take care.